One of the beautiful things about Jesus is that if you will take the time to look at what he says and to read his words, you'll discover that he really doesn't try to hide things from us. He's pretty honest, and he's pretty honest most of the time. That is certainly true when we get to the Gospel of John. We're in John chapter 10 this morning. And Jesus, through these several middle passages of John, delivers several what we're calling I am statements. And these are statements where Jesus is commenting on himself. And so it's Jesus commenting on Jesus. And he says, this is who I am. This is what I stand for. 2 weeks ago, we talked about he's the bread of life. He's your spiritual nourishment. There, you can't find spiritual food anyplace else but in him. Last week, we talked about where he said in John chapter 8 that he is the light of life. And it is only through him that you find spiritual life. Today, we want to talk about Jesus in John chapter 10, where Jesus says, I am the gate, or I am the door to the sheep pen. This is important for three reasons. Reason number one is that he's saying, I'm the only access you have in order to enter the family of God. You can't get there any other way but through me. The analogy of the door is also important because it lets us know that he protects us from that which would hurt us. But there's a third component to this that's often overlooked. And the third component of this is when he talks about, I'm the door, I'm the protector, I'm the gate to the sheep pen. It is a declaration where I want to protect you from you. Some of you this morning are frustrated. Some of you have a faith that has been weakened due to the political vitriol and due to the pandemic and virus, due to all kinds of things in this world. Some of you this morning have lost your passion for the faith and for things of God. You've lost your commitment and your desire to attend worship in person, and it's easier to stay home in your jammies, watch on the couch with your coffee in your hand. Some of you have struggled for finding comfort and encouragement and hope in God's word or in prayer. So many believers I know are struggling with just the basic Christian characteristic of being kind right now. So many have lost their commitment to the kingdom and the passion and the fire that burned for Christ at one time has evaporated over the last year. And the reason it's gone is because you're exhausted, tired, you're weary, you're worn out. And the reason you're exhausted and tired and weary and worn out is because you're trying to leave the fold. You want to run away from the flock. You want to abandon the people of God. And you're trying to get past Christ, who is the door. And he is resisting you, and he is resisting your fleeing. He is pushing back against your fleeing, and it absolutely has you worn out. And so I would encourage you today, as Jesus would encourage you today, stop resisting the door. Stop trying to push your way past the gate of God and rest in his pasture. Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. I tell you the truth, which is what Jesus always does. The person does not enter the sheep pen by the gate or the door. Those words are used interchangeably, by the way. But climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. But the person who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice, and he calls out his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate of the sheep, for the sheep. All who ever come before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate, I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and they will come in, and they will go out, and they will find pasture. Jesus opens up his message here with a familiar illustration, one that the listeners should have understood. The sheepfold is an unusual enclosure. It's made of rocks, and I'll show you a picture here in a little while, with an opening, and the sheep would go into this enclosure made of rocks, and the shepherd would guard them from the little opening, from the entrance. He would be the gate. He would be the door. He would be the passageway by which they go in. It wasn't unusual for this enclosure to have several flock of different sheep in there together in the same fold. And in the morning, each shepherd would come in and he would call for his sheep. And because the sheep knew the shepherd's voice, they would come out. Gates and doors are important elements in Scripture because they symbolize access, but they also symbolize protection and salvation. Wayne Brady hosts a show called Let's Make a Deal. Some of you know Wayne Brady's version. A lot of you would remember Monty Hall's version. The concept hasn't changed in 50 plus years. But people pick doors and pick curtains, and what's behind those, they win prizes. And sometimes you get a good prize, and sometimes you get a zonk, and sometimes you get cash. But at the end of the show, every day, the top prize winner that day gets an opportunity to play for what they call the big deal. And the big deal is one of three prizes behind one of three doors. They trade in what they've already won in order to gain something better. And if they pick the correct door, then they win the big deal. But if they don't pick the right door, then they get a significantly lesser prize. And oftentimes, it's less than what they've already won. It's a gamble. But every day, at 2:50 in the afternoon, somebody takes that risk. Somebody will decide to go for the big deal. And it all comes down to guessing the right door. But because of Christ, we don't have to guess. We don't have to hope we pick the right door. Because when we choose the door of Christ, we already cash in whatever prizes we think we've won in this life for the big deal. Jesus is the big deal for several reasons. The first of which is that Jesus gives us access to a place of belonging. Jesus gives us a place where we can have communion and community, and connection, and fellowship, and adoption, and the presence of God. Something happens in John chapter 9 where Jesus heals a blind guy. Now, if you were blind, wouldn't you want Jesus to heal you? Would it matter what day of the week Jesus healed you? As a church of Jesus Christ, as South Belt Church, if you were blind and Jesus came and healed you, we wouldn't care if he did it during the 10 o'clock hour of our worship time. We would want that to happen. But the Jewish leaders of the day were infuriated because Jesus did it during their worship day. They were angry. And so they let their anger be known by throwing the blind beggar out of the church. That was their reaction to what happened. And immediately after this scenario, Jesus begins to talk about the parable of the good shepherd, but you're not. You're blind guides. You're people who, you think this blind guy that got healed can't see? You guys really can't see. Because you suffer from spiritual blindness. And you're not shepherding your people well. But I'm the good shepherd. This is what the good shepherd looks like. The good shepherd sees and knows and leads those that are under his care. When cancel culture gives you no place to belong, Jesus says you can belong to the family of God. When the cancel culture says you have no place in this world, Jesus says if you will enter through his family through me, you have the kingdom. Jesus speaks of the sheepfold, and he says that the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Where do sheep belong? They belong in the sheepfold. They belong with the shepherd. They belong in the church. They belong with the family of God. And as the door, as the gate, Jesus gives you access to that through God the Father. Sheep are vulnerable, and we are referred to in the Old Testament and the New Testament as sheep. We're defenseless. We're on our own. But there's safety in numbers. Sheep have a flock mentality. And they prefer to hang out in groups. But sometimes they will follow the entire group to destruction. In many cases, there are evidences where ranchers have lost entire herds of sheep because they've just followed each other over the cliff. Sometimes they'll follow each other into trouble. Back when I preached through the 23rd Psalm, I made this statement early on in the sermon series that sheep should not pick their own direction. Sheep should not pick their own direction. Sheep should follow the shepherd. In this passage in John chapter 10, it says, the shepherd walks before them, and the sheep follow. The good shepherd leads them to safe pasture and to the safety of the sheep pen. What does that mean? It means that as a sheep, we have a place to belong. We have a flock that is ours. It is a place in the context of the kingdom of God. It is a place in the context of the family of God. It is a place in the context of the flock of God. It is the church. It is the people of the church. Imperfect and dumb sheep, just like you. But there are dumb sheep. And we need and care for each other. Here's what Jesus is telling us in verses 1 through 9. In verse 1, Jesus is saying you can attend church and not be a part of the kingdom. It's possible to attend church but not be a part of the kingdom. Certainly the religious leaders didn't understand it. They were the church and they were not part of the kingdom. In verses 2, 3, and 4, Jesus says those who know and hear and follow are a part of the kingdom. And so there's a definite line of demarcation. There's a definite delineation there. Those who know and those who hear and those who follow are part of the kingdom. Verse 5 says the genuine members of the kingdom recognize what counterfeit kingdom looks like. And they do not follow. Verse 7 and 9 says access to the kingdom is only possible through Christ. And the last part of verse 9 says through Christ there is salvation and freedom and satisfaction. You're exhausted today because you don't live in the salvation and freedom and satisfaction because you're trying to crash through the door and go places that the gatekeeper never intends for you to go. We are asked in Psalm 46 to be careful about crashing the gate. We are asking Psalm 46 to be careful about pushing against the gatekeeper. We are asking Psalm 46 to cease our striving and know that He is God. In the New Testament, there's a phrase that comes out about kicking against the goads. The goads are the thorn bushes. And when we push against the gatekeeper, we're kicking against the thorn bushes. And it's painful and it's exhausting. Through Christ there is salvation and freedom and sanctification. And He alone provides access to the Father. Only He can grant entrance into the kingdom. Only He can give us a place of legitimate belonging when the cancel culture says you really don't belong. Secondly, Jesus gives us a hope and a promise that we can believe on. A hope and a promise that we can believe on. When He told the story initially, the scripture says they didn't understand, and they should have. So He begins to explain it in simpler terms. He says, there are many thieves and robbers who come before me, and they were false messiahs and false teachers. But when Jesus came to the nation of Israel, He filled all of the Old Testament prophecies, and He is the true shepherd. He's the only gate that opens the way to God. He said, I am the gate. He's the gate to the sheepfold, and it makes it possible for the sheep to leave the religion and to enter His flock. It makes it possible for them to leave the religion and to have a relationship with the shepherd. Remember when I told you that in chapter 9, the cancel culture through the guy who'd been healed out of the church? Well, Jesus led him out of religion and into the flock of God. You can believe in the promise that I will never leave you and that I will never forsake you. You can believe in the promise of hope. He says in verse 7 through verse 10, that whoever enters will be saved. There is salvation when you walk through the door, when you walk through the gate. Salvation from what? Sheila, let me ask you to put the photo up for me if you would. It's a pretty simple photo. It's a pretty simple thing. This is the sheep pen that I was telling you about. And that's where the sheep would reside in the evening. And at the beginning, at the front of the sheep pen, there's a little gate there. Or a little entranceway there. And the shepherd is the gate. And Jesus says, if anyone enters this way, past me, through me, they will be saved. I am the door. And I deliver sinners from bondage. And I refresh you when you are exhausted. The word save means to rescue from danger and to be delivered safe and sound. This is our hope in a sinful world. This is not wishful thinking, but it is a practiced faith. Jesus rescues me from the danger of sin and society and self. What the shepherd was to the sheepfold, Jesus is to God's fold. You with me? He's the door. He goes on to say in John chapter 10, verse 15, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I laid down my life for the sheep. It was a dangerous thing to sleep in that gateway. It was dangerous for a couple reasons. It was dangerous because there were bad things that would want to try to get in and eat the sheep. But it was also dangerous because spunky, rebellious sheep would want to try to get out. No one takes it from me, he says in verse 18, but I lay my life down on my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. This is the command that I have received from my Father. Jesus says, I want to be here. Even though the weather outside might be frightful, there is no fire that would be delightful. He says, I choose to be the door. I choose to be the gate. I choose to be the protector of things that could come in and grab you. But I also choose to be the defender of you when you want out. If a wandering, rebellious sheep wanted out, it had to fight its way out through the door and through the gate and through the shepherd. I want you to hear how Jesus responds to this when we talk about the hope that is in Christ. Verse 27 through 30. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. I'm putting myself in danger on purpose. Not only in danger from those who would come in and try to steal the sheep, but from you who may be wandering and trying to push your way out of the sheepfold. Nobody's going to take you out of my hand. Not even those that want to get in and get you, and not even you who may want to get out of there. And then in verse 30, he says, I and the Father are one. Now, all you English teachers, don't correct Jesus here. The grammar's terrible. But the point is not lost. Jesus is saying, I am in the Father. Let me give you this picture. This is the reason you're exhausted from your struggling to push your way beyond the gatekeeper and make your way back out into the dangerous worldly surroundings that you want to get away from. Why you're running from the church, why you're using this virus and this pandemic as a reason and an opportunity to abandon the disciples, the disciplines and the practices of God. Jesus said, there is a hope that comes with me, and that hope is that you are forever in the palm of my hand. And I have you, and nothing can come in and get you, and you can't push your way out. And that's exhausting enough. But then Jesus says, the Father and I are one. So I got you right here in the palm of my hand, and I'm holding you close to me, and God has me, and I'm wrapped up in Him, and He's got me, so you're double wrapped. You want to know why your wandering is exhausting? It's because you're kicking against the door. And the door says, no, you are mine, and I have you, and I won't let you go. Cease striving, and know that I am God. What do you do when you want to secure something? You lock it up. Jesus said, you're secure because you have come through the gate and the door, and you have walked into the fold of my hand, and I have you, and I clutch you close to my breast, but I am also wrapped up in the Father. You ain't going nowhere. Read John chapter 15. It's an entire chapter of about abiding in Christ. That is the hope, and this is the promise. If you will understand where you are in the palm of his hand, in that fold, in that protected space, and if you understand that you are held close to his breast, and if you understand that he is wrapped up by God, then you can have what he refers to as pasture. You can have what he refers to as life abundant, or life to the full, as we find in John chapter 10:10. The pasture is a place of nourishment. It is a place of calm. It is a place of supply. It is a place of freedom, but a protected freedom. Life to the full is more than just contentment that this world would have to offer. We read John chapter 10:10 and we think, well, if I give my money from the church, then God owes me a 1-to-1 ratio and then I'm going to be blessed double portion. We watch the TV preachers and they say, if you'll send me the blessing offering or the life offering, or if you'll splash yourself with my miracle water, then you're going to get a big fat check in the mail. It's not what life, abundant life, is about. The abundant life is a better future than you can imagine. And it is granted through the Good Shepherd, who, when you learn to abide and when you learn to trust that there is a hope because you are secure in him and he is secure in the Father, You can't kick your way and fight your way and abandon the faith your way out of that. Because all that's going to do is bring you misery and spiritual exhaustion. Jesus says, no. If you learn to abide here, and if you learn to rest here, then you can have things like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no end. There is the promise of the pasture. Spiritual thieves want to take the truth of God and they want to twist it so that you will choose to not walk through the door of Christ. Jesus didn't come to help himself. Jesus came to help the sheep. Jesus came to sacrifice himself so the sheep might be tended to well and taken care of well. Jesus came and said, without me as the door, without me as the gate, because of sin in the world, you cannot have access to the Father. I have come to bring you a place of belonging, and I do it willingly. I lay my life down willingly, not only to be the gate, but to provide access into God and also protect you from accessing away from God. He says that we can have a life and that we can have it to the fullest. It is a life greater than we can humanly know. Because in that life, when we choose to walk through the gate and wind up in the palm of his hand, then we are free from the guilt of sin. According to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. We are adopted into his family according to the writings of the Apostle Paul. We are blessed by the abundant love and mercy of Christ as demonstrated by the writings of Peter. Stop exhausting yourself this morning. Stop trying to leave the place where Jesus says, I got you, and God's got me, and we're good. Stop trying to leave the flock. Stop trying to kick your way out of the family. Abide with the Good Shepherd. I encourage the band to come. And as they come and as we sing, I need you to contemplate where you are in all of this. First of all, have you walked through the gate? Have you made a conscious choice to believe in, watch me, to believe in and belong to Jesus Christ? It's a conscious choice that you make. I choose to walk through the gate, walk through the door. I choose to believe in and belong to Jesus Christ. I place myself through the door of His sacrifice into His hand where nobody can snatch me out because I am in Him and He is in God. I'm double blanketed here. I'm double bound here. Have you made that choice? If you have made that choice, and if the virus and the uncertainty and the angry politics has rocked your world to the point where you're just trying to fight your way out as best you possibly can, would you choose in this moment of singing to abide? Would you choose in this moment of singing and prayer and contemplation to cease your striving and to know that He is God? Let's stand together and sing as I pray. Father, help us not be afraid of walking through the gate. Help us not be afraid of stopping our resistance and our trying to escape from the gate. Father, encourage us this morning to stay in the sheepfold. Help us know and understand that we're in Your hand and that You are wrapped up by the Father and that because of Your power and Your promise, we ain't going nowhere. So help us to enjoy the hope and enjoy the pasture of freedom and abundance in You. In Your great name, amen.